Well, hello.
Welcome to Bad Therapy, episode 23.
So glad you could make it. Cheers. That was a good cheers.
Delicious.
Did you hear that ding?
Sometimes when we haven't had a glass of wine in a while.
It's very true. We've been cheersing with martini glasses.
It's been a teeny time, and then the teeny goes all over the couch.
Yeah.
And we have to stop recording and clean
then
up
a
the
bad
mess.
Time. Yeah.
It's nice to have a little glass of red wine.
This is where the hangovers come from, though.
Red wine gives you the worst hangover ever.
It's so annoying because I feel great right now, but I give it like 12 hours.
I mean, it's like one glass of wine.
Yeah. I'm definitely already on
She's
my
had
second.
Like fucking seven glasses of wine mm-hmm. behind my back.
How's your week been, Madison?
Are you being serious? I can't tell if you're for real or not.
I really am.
It's been fine, Allie.
Okay, sorry for asking. Goddamn.
That's okay.
All right, well, we'll jump right into the podcast, I guess. Fuck letting me know how your week went.
Okay, so we're just going to dive right into our first topic this week. We're going to dive right into it because we don't have anything else to fucking say. Normally, we start the podcast with like a rant of like,
yeah.
I don't know, Allie was in Thailand. I was fucking in the Sahara Desert. I don't know.
This week, we've got nothing.
We don't have it in us. It's been, you know.
All right. So
welcome to my podcast. Anyway, my podcast. I'm the host of Bad
okay,
Therapy.
We can talk about that.
Okay. So funny story. I obviously am a boomer, a big baby.
No, when she says she's a boomer, this girl, just a second ago, we were on Snapchat because we were doing the friend word challenge thing. And she was like, how do I turn the word sideways?
How do I
sideways?
Turn it? Like, I'm like, I thought you had to like rotate the phone. I'm a big baby back boomer. I'm talking technologically at a disadvantage in the cave person days. I just like don't really have a lot of interest in getting to know it better. I should probably considering this is our like thing now.
It would be
but
helpful.
I put in my bio for TikTok and Instagram, host of Bad Therapy podcast, because I didn't realize you had to like put co-host. I thought we were just like both the hosts.
We are, but we're co-hosts to each other because there's two of us. So you're my co-host, I'm your co-host.
That makes sense.
So basically from my perspective, I'm like, one day I just go to Madison's Instagram or something and I see it says Madison, host of Bad Therapy podcast. And I was like, okay, I'll just go fuck
myself.
What
am I, a piece of, she texted me a screenshot of it. She's like, what am I, a tiny little piece of shit?
Literally.
What do you mean?
What am I, chopped liver?
I just didn't understand. I mean, like, I do understand the co-host concept, but it looked weird, like written out.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And like, I just claimed it as my own.
My profile just says co-host and Madison just says host.
This is Alex Cooper, Sophia. Like, this is the very beginning where I'm starting to push her out. This is
how. Yeah, good luck.
I know. She literally does all the editing, all the posting, but I'm the host.
I would actually be curious, just as like, you know, when they do like the day in the life where you have to like live somebody else's life for like a day.
Yeah.
Like, I would be curious if we like switched
Freaky
lives.
Friday swapped it.
Yeah. Like, I had to go be a realtor. And then show up here and like give nothing.
Wow, bitch.
I'm just kidding. And then you had to like
edit?
Go be a princess and like, I'm just kidding.
Jesus, this girl.
I'm just kidding. And then you had to like, go edit.
I mean, I'd snap the computer in half. There's zero chance. Yeah. Sometimes when my computer doesn't work, there is very, very small amounts of self-control between me putting a fucking hole through that computer and me not. Like, yeah. it's a fine line.
I would be interested to see like what the podcast would look like.
There wouldn't be a podcast.
Oh, and just like one more comment on this since we're on the topic one day, because Madison and I obviously both have access to both of the accounts, like Instagram, TikTok, everything. And Madison now feels like she can't post things on the story. I think she's gotten a little bit more comfortable, confident with it, because I'm super anal about things looking like aesthetically pleasing.
Like perfect. I'm like, I don't get it.
And one day I get on Instagram and I check our story and it just says, because we hit a milestone on TikTok. So she like took a screenshot. She's excited. She posted it. And I just remember my eye twitching because
she's like, this looks so
I opened the story and it just says, go follow us on Tik. And then on the next line, it was talk. But the whole first sentence was capitalized and then the talk was in lowercase on the second line.
And like the picture was like off center. The lighting was all
I
weird.
I just read that and I just left it. But I was like, we need to have a discussion.
It's pretty bad. And like Ali and I have been working on getting our personal Instagrams up. And I just discovered Facetune. So like I wasn't a Facetune girl.
Madison posts a picture. You guys can go look at it.
Go
it's
look
still
at my
on her page.
Go look at my most recent picture. I didn't notice.
Wait, so she posts it because it's for our merch, which, by the way, go shop our merch, badtherapypod.com. And she posts a picture in one of our trucker hats.
I'm trying to launch the hats. I'm trying to be supportive.
I literally looked at this photo and I sent it to her and I was like, why do you look like a fucking doll?
Literally an animated fucking.
I was like, you look AI generated. And she's like, that's funny because I literally clicked a button that said AI.
AI generating. I don't know. I just went to Facetune. I'm like, auto edit. Yeah, I don't edit my pictures. Like, it's not something I've ever done.
I mean, you looked really good, but you looked like an anime character.
Literally fake as fuck. Then I was looking at it and I was like, damn, that really doesn't even look like, what the fuck am I looking at right now?
You just looked like a doll. I mean, no shame, just.
I could see how these girls could get carried away, though, because it's too easy.
Well, yeah, and honestly, when you stare at a photo for too long, it's so easy to think that it looks like you by the time you're done editing it. Like, there was a time in my life where Facetune ran rampant.
Facetune controlled your Instagram.
Oh, it was, I mean, I'll talk about it because it's embarrassing, but I feel like it's happened to so many people. They're like, obviously, I was just very insecure about what I looked like. And so I would literally go and, like, by the time I was done editing a picture, which initially I went into it thinking, oh, I'm just going to do a few touch-ups.
Just a little touch here, a little touch
there.
And
then by the time I'm done, I'm like, perfect. And then I look back, I'm like, who the fuck is that? Well, because that is not me. Like, I would change my whole
face. You can slim your jaw. Like, I didn't realize you could do all this shit. Mm-hmm. Make your forehead smaller? Fuck, now I found out about that. Every single picture of my forehead about to be snatched after someone came for my forehead on the fucking podcast.
Yeah, by the way, fuck you, whoever said that. That's
someone
so
came
rude.
For my forehead in a comment. It's fine. My forehead is big. It's fine.
People say the rudest shit in the comment section.
Now anyways. I know I can go make my fucking forehead smaller on Facetune. Bye. So, long story short to this, if you edit your pictures, don't feel bad because everybody edits their pictures.
Yeah.
But also, don't overdo it because apparently everybody can tell.
Yeah, everybody can tell. You except for your man, so don't ask your man.
Oh, my boyfriend was like, stupid. Babe, you look so beautiful. So what a nice photo. I'm like, Allie texted me like, you look fake as fuck. What is this shit?
Oh, it's okay. We've all been there. But yeah, honestly, that shit's overrated. Like, if you're going to go like blur like a pimple or I don't know, like little touch-ups like that, that I think is acceptable. But if you're changing like your whole face, then
your face shape, your body shape, the background,
yeah,
the shit you can do these days. And it's like, no wonder everybody's so brainwashed because all these
and
things
insecure,
the shit that you're constantly seeing on Instagram, it's not real. Yeah. You can do it in like videos now. Like the photo editing capacity these days is the fact that I could go in there as a boomer,
just click
as a baby
AI.
Back boomer and click one yeah. button and look like a.
I was wondering how long that took you, but then to know that you literally just clicked AI.
It's like an auto edit. Yeah. Facetune auto edit. And it says AI generating. I was like, sick, fucking perfect.
Yeah.
It showed me the picture. I was like, I look great. Let's go.
AI is taking over the world.
It's literally not me.
You looked really pretty, but yeah, it just wasn't what the photo really looked like, but that's okay.
Long story short, go buy the fucking hats.
Yeah. And that was our ad read.
Well, and it was funny because I was like, should I delete this?
It's too late.
Say it with
now.
Your chest.
Whatever. Yeah. Like, you done did that.
Everybody
done,
saw it, like didn't get a lot of likes. I'm like, all right, it's fair. Yeah.
All right, well, moving on to our next topic, since that wasn't even a topic on the list somehow.
Usually.
Yeah, usually the first like 10 minutes of our podcast are us just
rambling,
shooting the shit. We know a lot of our audience that has found us through TikTok reels and whatever that now watched our podcast have found us through our relationship TikToks or Instagrams or whatever. So we've taken note of that and we enjoy actually talking about these things too. Like obviously when we first started the podcast, we didn't really have a niche and we still don't because we don't want to put ourselves in a box, but we want to make sure that the people following and listening are kind of getting what they came here for.
Yeah.
So we try to incorporate some relationship topics into each podcast.
We did one financial podcast.
Yeah.
That won't be happening again.
Yeah. Don't worry. That was our only sober podcast we've ever done. And
never again.
Yeah. Don't worry. You won't have to listen to us too dumb.
Talk about fucking investing. Like anyone gives
yeah,
a flying
like,
fuck.
News fest. Like we are not disappointed that no one listened to that because I wouldn't listen to that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, recently I've been kind of in a new thing. We won't call it a new thing. Love is in the air. We won't call it love either. But regardless.
Calls it a new thing, says love is in the air.
Regardless, Madison knows that like I do not know how to pump the brakes. Like I have no chill in me. And that's okay. That's just who I am. It's how I was made. And that then poses the question, when is it too soon to say I love you when you're in a relationship? Obviously, I'm not talking about my situation. He's just listening to this.
He's like, what, this bitch love me already?
No, I do not. if you're listening. But we were just thinking, we're like, when is it too soon? Because is it too soon? Is there like a timing that's right?
Right.
My opinion, honestly, and this could just be like, obviously, I think you might have a different perspective, but let's see here, because we're just very different in this way. I'm a lover girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think take a shot every time Allie says she's a lover girl on the podcast.
I'm going to be blacked out, literally unconscious.
I think like if you're feeling it, you should say it. Obviously, if it's mutual, like don't fall in love with some rando that you've talked to for 3 days that doesn't give a shit about you, or some, even if you talk to them for 6 months and they don't give a shit about you, like make sure they give a shit about you before you confess your love to them, because it's probably not even love. It's probably just infatuation in that type of a relationship. But my thoughts on it is like, if you're feeling love and you feel that it's reciprocated, then there really is no right timing to say it, you know? But that's just my opinion.
Like, you don't think like a week or 2 weeks would be too soon? Because like, I know people have said I love you after like 3 fucking days.
I honestly think if you love someone, like if it's real, you know what I mean?
How are you supposed to know though? That's my question. Because I think a lot of women feel very strong feelings at the beginning of relationships, that lust, that infatuation that really genuinely does feel like love, but it's not really love. And I think men are a little better at like holding back when that, from that really strong emotion right away. So it's like, how do you know?
Well, I think like, and this is again, just like my opinion, I think if you're feeling that way, just like live your truth, girl. As long as they're treating you good, it's like, who cares if later down the road, you're like, oh, maybe it was just, you know, the honeymoon stage or whatever. Deep down, everyone knows their gut, if it's love or lust or infatuation. And I think when you meet someone that's really great, you can feel feelings of love for them pretty quickly. Like, honestly.
Yeah, when you're vibing with somebody, you're like, honestly, even me, who's not a lover girl, mm-hmm. has been like a couple weeks into it and been like,
yeah,
do I love this motherfucker?
Yeah. And like, maybe you don't have to say it, but if you're the type of person that wants to say it, because I've heard stories of people that are been married for 50 years and they met, said I love you
the first day.
The second day. And like Meghan Trainor, I'm pretty sure I heard a story about her and her Spy Kids. Her husband is, you know, the Spy Kid. Anyways.
Oh, Spy Kids. I didn't know that actually.
Yeah, she's married like, kid in Spy Kids. I can't remember his name.
The guy?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and I was listening to, I forget what talk show they were on. And anyways, they were talking about their love story and they're super happy together now. I don't know how long, but they have 2 kids together, or a kid, maybe 2. I think they have 2 now. Regardless, it was such a cute story. I think they said, I love you within the first week. And when he said it to her, she was like, took you long enough type of thing. And like,
really?
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like when you know, you just know. But I feel like that's the key, is you have to really know. Like, I feel like it'll feel different than anything else you've been in if that's the situation. Like, it'll feel meant to be. Everything will be easy. You'll know it's reciprocated. You won't have to wonder. You won't, you know, feel insecure. You won't have to fight for it. Like, it'll just work from the very beginning and it'll just be different. It won't be like a gaslighting, manipulating, because I've definitely been in relationships where they love me so quickly and it's this and that, but like I think looking back, I even knew that that wasn't real love. More just me wanting to be loved, that I was like, and this, like, must
willing
be
to
love.
Accept any form
exactly.
of love.
And it's not like they were bad, you know. Obviously everyone's great in the beginning of a relationship, but like there's not that real genuine connection. It's just I love you, and it's the love bombing.
Well, that's exactly my concern for it, is like I feel like a woman who really genuinely felt those feelings for a guy and he was really love bombing her, but she didn't really realize or see it for what it was, and he's love bombing her and giving her all of this love and affection, and she's like, fuck, I think I love this guy.
Okay, so let me tell you what the difference is. What you need to look for is that you guys have an actual connection, a deeper bond, something that connects you guys on a deeper level, because anyone can shower you with gifts and compliments and I love yous. That doesn't mean shit.
And be like obsessed with you blowing up your phone.
At the end of the day, it's what do you guys have in common? How are you guys connected? I don't know how to explain it. It's just something that you have to like experience. But like what I'm trying to get at is you'll know when you know. Like when people say you know when you know it for sure. You know when you don't know.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like because that's more common to find and it's easier to find, it's easier to just want it enough to just settle when you think you find something. And it's,
or if somebody else says it first and you're like not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I could see this.
Yeah. Or just getting caught in the moment and being like, well, I've wanted to fall in love for so long and like now it's here and this and that. But
the difference between wanting love and being in love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it takes a lot of self-awareness to recognize that, especially because you can maybe think you're in love, right? Because maybe people that haven't experienced that type of
love.
That's
what I'm saying. Like if you've never felt it, like the you know feeling.
But then again, like to me, I still don't think there's a time limit on when anyone should say it, because it's just a learning lesson. And in order to know what real love is, or like how a situation really is. You have to experience every other walk of life first, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you're blessed with it on the first try, which is generally like, not
good for you.
Generally not how
and
it works.
I feel like there's different levels and different like versions of love too, because I've definitely loved people, even loved a boyfriend that I didn't really want to say like, I love you or I'm in love with you, but like I still loved them. I had love for them. I felt love for them. And if they said it to me and I said it back, it wasn't a lie. Maybe it's not something that I would have said first, but it doesn't mean I didn't mean it. But there's different, like different levels to it. It's not like I'm in love with you.
But that's again to my point, and this just might be the lover girl in me, but like no I love you is ever wasted, because if you love someone,
you should tell them.
You should tell them whatever capacity or whatever level that it's at, because I just think that love is such a universal thing that we share as humans that does connect us.
Yeah.
And even if you're gonna like be in love and it's not real love, like even if you're, if I, my opinion is if you're feeling love in the moment, it's love. Like who's to say that it's not? Maybe it only lasts 2 months and you get dragged through the trenches afterwards. Yeah, and whatever.
And it was love bombing and it was bullshit, but
it was still love in the moment. Maybe they needed the love that you provided them. Maybe you needed it in the moment. Maybe everything is just there to teach a lesson or provide something. So, I don't think it's any I love you is ever wasted is my point.
That's beautiful. And you are such a lover girl, because I'm like, yeah, I'll take that shit to the grave with me. Yeah. But like,
and I've been fucking hurt a lot too. Like it's not like I feel that way because everything always goes my way. Like quite the opposite.
You've been
actually
shit on by guys who love you.
But I still feel that way because that's just how I am.
So I think another topic to touch on then would be, because I think a lot of women feel that feeling. They feel like they want to say it, but their man hasn't said it first. Mm-hmm. Who should say it first?
The man.
Allie's like, the man. That guy. So like, what do you do if you're feeling like, I love him, I love him, I want to tell him, but he hasn't told me. Months and months are going by, he hasn't said it.
Here's my thought on that. The reason I feel like the man should be the one to say it first is because I feel like in a world where women are usually the softer gender when it comes to this type of stuff
and
in relationships.
And feel more emotion, yeah.
You feel more emotion. We're more likely to be the one to like want to nurture and say I love you and care for someone, whereas with a man I don't think it comes as naturally unless they really are in love with you. So I think for a man to be vulnerable and really kind of like take a shot in the dark and say something like that, it really proves his love and devotion to you,
that he's willing to like face that rejection.
Obviously there is the chance that it's love bombing and whatnot, but in the case where it is real and it is not a narcissist and it is not love bombing, I think it is special for the man to say it, because that kind of just solidifies what you're feeling. And I don't know.
Like
I
just you didn't have to force it out of him.
Yeah. Like, and maybe like men feel this way on the contrary, right? Because I think for me, if I said it first and they said it back, I would always be wondering like,
did he actually
feel that? Or did he just
try and make me feel better?
Like say it in the moment because he could see himself getting there, you know? But if they say it first, then you know that they're really feeling it.
You know, what's funny is that I had that same opinion. Like my whole life, I would never say it first. That's not something I would ever even consider. Mm-hmm. In the relationship I'm in now, which I consider to be like my forever relationship, the person I'm going to spend my life with, I said it first.
Did you really?
I fucking said it first.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, I told him first. It was so random. I was just looking at him and like, we hadn't been dating for that long. I want to say we'd been dating for like 3 months, which for me is really early to be saying I love you. I knew he loved me, but he was a reserved person. He was very like you said.
You didn't think he was going to say it?
He might have. I didn't give him the chance. I was kind of drunk and I was just like, I love you. And he was like, I love you too. Like relieved that I had said it.
So I guess I won't be so strong-willed when it comes to like my opinion on that, because I think everyone deserves that, right? Like I think men deserve also to be told. I think I'm just cynical when it comes to men. Like knowing me, like I would say I love you first.
You'd fucking, I love you, no problem.
But I won't, because I feel like because I would, I want someone to do that for me.
It depends on the person.
Yeah.
It completely depends on the person.
Yeah, and the situation.
There's been situations where I'm dating like kind of like narcissistic or tough guys, or like guys who should say it first, but like I wanted to say it first too, but like I would have never said it first to them because like they didn't deserve that. That sounds fucked up, but like
okay, well maybe we shouldn't be dating narcissists.
I know,
guys.
Like if we were going to be in love, it was because they needed to fight for that or put that forward.
Okay, but I don't want to put a bad connotation on that, because I feel like that, yes, obviously they need to say it first if they're a narcissist, but like
yeah, like why am I dating them? Like,
yeah, but my point is like you could be dating a good guy, and I feel like, I don't know, personally I would like to hear it first just to feel like that security, I guess, but that could be just a personal preference. But
yeah,
I just think in male and female relationships, I just think that there are certain, maybe it's like old fashioned of me, I guess,
like him popping the question, like yeah, I wouldn't propose to him,
right?
Yeah,
like, I just think that there are certain steps that are taken in phases, not that they can't be done differently, differently.
I feel like there's women out there that are in relationships, like semi-long-term relationships, that are kind of just waiting for their man to say it. And they want them to say it. They love them. The woman clearly loves them, but okay, they haven't heard it yet.
So let me now ask a rebuttal question. How long is too long to not say I love you in a relationship?
That is chef's kiss a good question, because I was just talking to a friend who was dating a guy for a year and he never said I love you to her. She loved him.
Like boyfriend, girlfriend?
In a full-on relationship. They didn't live together or anything, but they were very serious. A year. She wanted to
never
say it.
Never said it, but she didn't say it?
She never said it because he never said it. So a year goes by and she's she's finally like, what the fuck, dude? I love you. She finally said it. He doesn't say it back. He said, after a year, I just don't know if I'm like ready for that level of commitment yet.
See,
what a waste of everybody's fucking
time.
But
that's what I'm saying, because
we could figure that out at month one.
Literally, I'm flabbergasted.
Bamboozled. Yeah.
And bamboozled, like, flabbergasted.
Two brain cells making a podcast.
That's why I think there actually is, I don't know, I'd rather hear it sooner than be with someone for a year and like not know that they're never going to get there. Like, I don't know if there's a time limit, but I feel like, you know, the natural progression of things, like you're kind of talking to someone for, I don't know, 2-3 months and then you maybe make it official. I feel like when you make it official, you should already be in love with the person, right? Like,
yeah, if you're in a relationship.
Yeah, like when you become boyfriend and girlfriend, like that's when the I love you should be like known, been said. Because why date someone if you don't see yourself falling in love with them? Not like dating. Okay, there's like dating and then there's
being in a relationship.
In a relationship.
Like, what is your long-term goals? Why are you guys
if
together?
You don't see yourself falling in love with me, you're not my boyfriend. If you're not in love with me, you're also not my boyfriend. You know what I mean? Because
right.
We could do the talking phase. I was recently in a situationship, literally situationship. It was almost 7 months long, 6 months long. Never got to like pass the talking phase because, fair enough,
weren't locked in.
He never probably saw himself, and to be fair, I never saw that probably either. It was an infatuation thing, you know?
Exactly. And I think that's kind of the difference, is if you're with someone and you've been with someone and you're asking yourself this question, like, when is this gonna happen? 5, 6, 7, 8 months
it's
in,
not it.
He's clearly just not that into
not
you
that
you're
into
clearly
you.
Just not that into him.
God, can we talk about the hard truth of dating someone that's just not that
doesn't
into
like you?
You
that much, and like, why are you fucking dating me then, brother?
It's so easy to convince yourself when you're in the situation that it's gonna work out, or you believe everything they're telling you, like, it's just not the right time, or I'm just busy, or I like you, or this and that. But then at the end of the day, it should never be that hard. If something is right, it'll be right.
It'll feel right.
Right away.
Yeah.
It's not going to cause you pain. It's not going to cause you stress. It's not going to cause you heartache. Because I know myself personally, thinking back to some of the situations I've been in, spending hours and hours and hours feeling sad or stressed about a person versus being with someone that doesn't make you feel that way.
Something that it's just easy with. And like, that's not saying that there's never going to be problems or complications. Like, relationships are always going to take work, even the good ones. But you're absolutely right. If something's going to work, if something feels good, it's going to feel good right away. You're not going to have to struggle. That's the thing that I've learned. Like, the number one thing I've learned about being in my relationship now is I didn't have to fight for it. There was never a day that went by when I wondered if he liked me or not, if he was going to call me, if he was going to show up for me. Not one fucking time did that man make me question his feelings for me.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to fall in love when someone makes you feel like that.
Yeah.
But there's so many emotionally unavailable men out there. They breadcrumb you, they lead you along, and they make you feel like you're something to them, but you know that you're not.
Well, and that's the thing, is when you start to question them because you're feeling like they're not that into you, they're not talking to you that much, like they're giving you all the red flags, but then when you ask them about it, it's like they gaslight you. They tell you everything you want to hear. They make you feel crazy for feeling that way, when in reality, like, you're right all along. And you know what? Like, anyone listening to this that's going through this right now, I know it's not easy to hear, because if anyone relates to this, this was me 3 months ago.
And it's been all of us at some point.
Yeah.
Me too.
Like, I didn't want to hear it. Madison would tell me, like, he's just not that into you.
I don't like
and I'm like, but
much.
He tells me he does. Like, he talks to me every day. No, he's just not that into you, Allie. Looking back, it's like hindsight's always 20/20. Obviously, you have to learn the hard way sometimes, or like you have to see things through or let things play out. But if I could go back and just recognize that I was right and not waste so much of my time on that person, like, I would. And if there's one thing that I learned from that situation that I was recently in, is just that trust your gut. Your gut knows what's happening. And
yeah.
I know it's hard sometimes to believe something that you can't see, right? So we could tell you that something better is out there for you, or something good is coming down the line. But when you haven't seen it, when it's not like a feasible thing,
you're like, there's no way. I'm never going to find it.
Yeah, it just feels impossible. It feels like it doesn't exist. But I'll tell you what, and this is something that I had trouble telling myself when I was going through this, but I would still tell myself because I knew it was true, was that the longer you hold on to the wrong thing, the longer it'll be till you find what's right for you.
Absolutely, because there's no room for it.
There's no room. And I think sometimes I was talking to someone today about the fact that history repeats itself. And I truly believe that we will continue to date the same type of person in a different body over and over and over again until we learn the lesson and close out that cycle. Because I swear to God, I would date, it would be like a different version of them. Like they would have differences.
Same, same, but different.
But same, but different, right? Yeah. And it took me so long to realize that. But then after the third or fourth guy I dated where I was like, it's always the same outcome. It's
trash.
Always the same issues, the same, it's just the
me
same
feeling
shit.
Like shit about myself.
Yeah, it's the same shit. Like, when am I gonna fucking learn my lesson? And so finally, I said, I'm done. Blocked. Goodbye. I'm done.
And then, like, if you got a whiff of a red flag like that from another guy,
goodbye.
Shut it down immediately. Yeah,
it's so much easier said than done. Like, just hearing these words, I feel like is helpful because I think these things that we talk about on this podcast plant seeds in so many people's heads that live there. Because when you talk to me about these things, these are seeds that whether or not I listen in the moment, you're planting seeds.
It eventually becomes something. With you. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you start to think about it in actual real scenarios. You're like, well, I remember this. Then you're like, well, that's actually true. And then especially when you decide to start the healing process and the moving on process, when you get to that point, you remember these things about what you don't want, what you do want, what you don't deserve, what you've been through, how it wasn't fair, what you thought, how you felt like shit. Like those are the things that...
Well, that's like lesson learning, right? Is you, if you don't learn from a lesson, you're going to learn it again.
Yeah.
And you're going to go over it and over and over. But this is why we have relationships. This is why we date. I mean, if you're one of those lucky people that you marry the first person you date, good for fucking you, but...
Sue me, okay? I don't think that that's a good thing because I think that how could you possibly know what you want if you haven't dated or at least experienced other people?
Well, that was my point. With every relationship that you go through, you learn whether it was the worst thing that ever happened to you or the best relationship you ever had and you feel like you lost it. You're learning what you like about somebody, what you don't like about somebody, what you will tolerate, what you won't tolerate to kind of like cultivate the perfect person.
We both said that at the same time.
The perfect person for you. And that might take 10 relationships. It might take 5. If it's one, that's kind of crazy. But
do you think that certain people, because let me tell you, actually, I can answer my own question. My question was going to be, do you think that certain people have more lessons to learn than others? And yeah, I do think that because
different levels of trauma.
Trauma, like different relationships with your parents, whether you're a child of divorce, whether you were in an abusive relationship,
whether you grew up around people who argue or people who communicate
or like, stonewall.
It's completely different per individual, which is why I feel like, you know, high school sweethearts or whatever, maybe they are not very...
Maybe they were just the two lucky ones.
Traumatized people. And I'm not saying that I believe in high school sweethearts to a certain extent. I do think, you know, you kind of got to live your life a little. That doesn't mean it can't work.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. How are you ever going to know? When you're in those adolescent years, you're a teenager, you're not you. No.
You don't even know who you are.
Well, and another thing about this is I think a lot of women in these relationships, so they don't know Italian hand. This is how
I'm serious.
They don't know if this is them or not. They're like, oh, they're questioning. Like, is this him? Is this how he's treating me? Like, actions speak a hell of a lot louder than words.
Period.
With people like that, there's going to be men in your life that say everything you want to hear and tell you everything that sounds nice, but their actions do not reinforce their words whatsoever. The way a man treats you
says everything.
100% how he feels about you.
100%.
My friend was telling me
matter what they say to you.
No, like they can tell you you're Cleopatra, a goddess.
They can tell you they love you more than God's green earth. But if they do not act like it, then they do not think that.
If their actions do not reciprocate, they do not like you.
Yeah.
And some men don't have the capacity to put their words into actions the way that they say they're going to. But like, you don't want that man anyway. I was sitting with a friend today and she was telling me how upset she is with her life right now. And she's getting older. She feels like she should have been married by now. She should have had kids by now. She should have had the house by now. She thought she was going to have all of these things. And she's out of a 3-year relationship that didn't fucking work out because the guy wasn't giving her what she needed. He wasn't committing the way that he should have been after 3 years at that point in time. She could tell. She looked him in the face and said, am I the person that you want to spend your life with? Do you love me? He couldn't answer. So she breaks up with him. Kudos to her because a lot of women will drag that shit out.
No, literally, whoever you are, clap, clap, clap. I'm like, I don't know.
She starts dating a guy casually after that. Obviously, she's just gotten out of a relationship that's pretty brutal and likes him. They have a lot in common. They get along. It's almost borderline love bombing, but not sure. The sex is really good. The conversation is really good. Her birthday comes along. He doesn't fucking say happy birthday. They've been talking for months.
That's repulsive.
He doesn't say happy birthday. He doesn't text her, call her. She blocks him.
Did she?
Go off, queen.
That is some bad bitch bitch energy.
Because what she took from her previous relationship
is actions speak louder than words.
I am not going to waste any more of my fucking time. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want this life. I'm not wasting any more of my time on men who cannot put their words into action, dude, and who don't give a shit about prop. Me. I know.
Dude, she's gonna find her man.
And that's why I said the second you start closing those doors.
Oh, she just made the first shift that the universe is finally, it's gonna give it to her. That was a test.
She blocked him she gave him till midnight on her birthday and said, okay.
That's crazy. Bye. Not a happy birthday.
Nothing.
Yeah. So back to like what you were saying about actions speaking louder than words. One of my love languages is words of affirmation. So yeah. I honestly think that that's why and how I get swindled.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, and I was talking to someone recently, I was like, yeah, my love language is still words of affirmation, but it's not just like say whatever I want to hear and then do nothing. Like it's actions mean more to me than words. Words are nice, and that's still one of my love languages. But if you're not acting and doing the things that you're saying, if it doesn't match up, then that's honestly just a turnoff to me.
It's empty promises.
Yeah, and it doesn't, like, your words mean nothing at that point to me. Your words, I think I've gotten to a place where, like, your words only mean anything if I feel that they're backed up by
There's
something.
Some authenticity because behind them.
You could say something, it could make me feel good for 2 seconds, but I still have that gut. A bitch is intuitive, okay?
Yeah.
I still get that like gut feeling because I am not a dumb bitch and I can feel that shit is not right. That these are just words and maybe in the moment I can't like understand what I'm feeling, but I think I'm slowly learning how to tell the difference.
Well, it's tough because it's like some men are very charismatic. Some men are very good with their words. And that's how I got swindled in my first relationship, is a guy who was very good with his words and his actions never matched up. But this is exactly to your point. It takes time. You have to learn it. But what you can't do is continue to repeat the same patterns over and over and over, because that's how you're going to get stuck with somebody who does not match your love languages, who does not match their words to their actions, and you're going to be fucking miserable. And I think this is something that you and I talked about, especially out of your last situationship, where I was just like, that guy, if you're listening, fuck you. That guy was so bare minimum, and even bare minimum with his words. And I could see you
going crazy.
You knew it.
Yeah.
And I had told you, this is like something verbatim I had said, is like people's words do not mean shit if there is no authenticity or no action behind them. And that specific person for you was kind of like the final nail in the coffin.
It was the final straw for me. Like, I think because obviously there's so many different layers to things, right? Like, it's not just so black and white. It is, at the end of the day, it is that black and white.
When you're out of it.
It is easy to say, to look at that relationship and say, he gave me nothing. Why the fuck did you like that person? Like, what the fuck did you like about that person? Like, obviously it wasn't always like that, but at the end of the day, it was that black and white. And it was hard for me to see it from your perspective in the moment, even though I knew, because I knew that my needs were not being met. I knew that I did not feel happy. I knew that I was feeling anxious, insecure, unhappy, unloved, just like nothing. Like, I did not feel one good emotion from that relationship.
Yeah.
Why would I stay? Well, trauma, wanting to be loved, the list goes on and on. But that truly was the final straw for me, because I was like, I am so sick and tired of giving and giving and giving.
And not receiving.
And not receiving. And it's not like I give and give and give in hopes that they'll love me or because I love them so much. Like, that's just truly who I am.
Well, and that's human connection. Like, you give, you receive. It's
like, that's just how I'm built. That's how I will be with every person in my life. Like, I just how I am, especially in romantic relationships, because that's like supposedly your person.
Well, like, that's normal. You should give and receive.
But I have not been with anyone in a very long time that has been like that or has reciprocated that. And my advice to someone is, because yes, like me specifically, I can give advice on this if you're like me, which I think a lot of people are deep down, but there's also a lot of people like I feel like you're like that, but in a different way, you know? Find someone that's also like that. Like, find somebody that is giving and caring and thoughtful, just like how you are.
How you would want to be treated, or how you treat somebody.
Find someone that treats you how you treat people.
I mean, literally, like, let's go back to pre-K. Treat your neighbor how you want to be treated.
But it sounds silly, but it's so true. Like, if you're talking to a guy and he treats you the complete opposite of how you would ever treat him, he's not your person.
At all.
Maybe he's probably not anyone's person, to be fair.
I mean, who wants to be treated like
maybe
that?
Maybe his person is somewhere out there that's dismissive and avoidant and doesn't care and aloof and whatever, but your person is someone that's thoughtful and kind and caring and shows up for you.
And makes you feel good.
And makes you feel good and likes you, God forbid, they like you.
Well, I think that's the advice for the girlies that are feeling like they're stuck, whether that be in a long-term toxic relationship, a situationship, feeling like they're going in fucking fucking circles with men and they can't find the right person or they can't get out. You don't have to stay in those relationships. You don't have to be with men like that. If you are in something like that and you're not feeling satisfied and you're not feeling happy, just know that there's something on the other side. There's a way out of it. As much time as you need to take to move out of that relationship, that's fine. Take your time. Give yourself grace. But you don't have to stay in that. Like, that doesn't have to be your life. Because I remember in my toxic relationship, I'd look around and be like, guess this is my life now. Like, you kind of just accept it and you are so deep.
Well, because it feels so hard to get out of.
Yeah, or like, even if it's just a situationship, you want that reciprocated love so much. You're clawing.
That you're willing to stay. You want to stay until they give it to you instead of just throwing in the towel and going and finding it.
Finding
from someone
who's going to happily and freely give it to you.
Yeah.
Because that was something a situationship that I was in where I felt like I was clawing for his attention and needing that. I needed him to reciprocate it because that was what made me feel validated. I stayed for way longer than I even want. I didn't even fucking like the guy by the end of it because he was just shitty. But I needed to feel that validation, that reciprocation of love or attention. So I jeopardized who I was as a person.
And that's something that happens subconsciously, right? Like, we don't stay in a relationship because we want to be validated. Like, we think we love them. We think that they're our person, like, in the moment. But really, at the end of the day, the infatuation comes from a place of just wanting to be loved. And I think that that comes from a place of trauma. You know, the list goes on. Another thing, too, that reminded me of is I think it's hard, too, to leave those types of relationships because when all you've had or all of the failed situationships or relationships that you've had, they've all been the same. It's easy to just think that that is...
That's just life. That's the way it's going to be.
That's just how it is. And then you see, like, the anomalies of the people in love and, like, you watch these movies and all these things and you're like, that just doesn't exist. Because that was me when I was going through all of these bad relationships. Like, I felt like every single person I talked to was the same and it ended the same and it felt the same. And I think when you're in it, you're like, just trying to make it work because that's to you what's familiar. Like, this is a relationship in your eyes.
When something's this close to your face,
it's so hard to see.
That's all you can see. Yeah. It takes stepping away, physically, mentally, and emotionally stepping away to actually understand something for what it was. Mm-hmm. And like, I see that with a lot of my friends. And I used to be a fucking love hater, okay? I didn't think that real good men actually really existed. Hearing my friends talk about the way that men treat them, still, I'm like, God, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah, like now, and I can see it in you because I think you and I actually got in an argument about this once because believe me, like I get where you're coming from because you're in a relationship now that everyone dreams to be in. And so when you see other people being treated like shit, it makes you mad. You're like, then why are you putting up
you don't
this?
Have to do this.
But then I remember telling you, like, it's just not that fucking easy. Yeah, you know, like, it's just because it's not.
Well, it's like, and then I feel like I'm like almost condescending, like me and my relationship.
But like, I get where you're coming from because it is like you're just want the best for them, and you know that the person that would be right for them wouldn't do that. Like,
no.
It wouldn't feel like that. It wouldn't look like that. And it's really just so hard to convince someone that can't see it in the moment.
If someone would have tried to convince me 5 years ago, I would have said, fuck you. Yeah. You're dumb and he's fooling you. I definitely spent my life being treated like shit by men and not believing that good relationships existed. Even if I saw it, I'd be like, they're lying. They're full of shit. Because you see it all the time. People posting on Instagram blowing up their significant other. 2 weeks later, they're broken up. He cheated on her. I'm like,
well, this reminds me of too. Like, I had a friend who we worked at a bar together and she was fighting with her best friend. And she was like kind of filling me in on the fight that they were having. And I just remember being like, is this like your number one like go to? And I was obviously like comparing our friendship.
Right.
And I remember being like, I sat this girl down and I was like, that is not, hear me when I say this,
mama,
that is not your best friend
at all.
That is not it. I promise you there's someone better out there for you.
And that is such a good comparison because like, that's exactly how I feel when I see these men. I'm like, that is not your
that
man.
That is not it. He's but not I get man. It. Like how condescending I probably sounded because she's like, that is my best friend.
She's like, must be nice to have a best friend that doesn't treat you like shit.
Literally, like must be nice to have like the perfect best
right.
friend. It is nice though. That's what I'm saying. Like go find that for yourself.
And it exists.
Like you don't have to suffer.
That's long fucking story short.
It exists.
Per usual, you don't have to settle in these relationships that don't satisfy you, that don't fulfill you, that you're questioning because they're are people out there that will satisfy you. I, again, was a pessimist. I'm an optimist now about it. And that's because I found it. Sounds corny as fuck, but like it exists.
It's okay to be corny sometimes.
I'm a lover girl. Take a shot every time Madison calls herself a lover girl.
Are you the lover girl now?
Yeah, fucking right.
So on the topic of knowing when a man is right for you or when a man is going to treat you good versus when a man is going to treat you like shit, a green flag that I think is super underrated is when a guy asks questions about you because, okay, let me just explain this to you. When someone asks a question about you, it's because they care. Like, no one's asking questions about shit they don't care about. So for example, like if you're talking to a guy and you're telling them a story about work or this or that, and then they just respond with their classic answer, you know, they're engaging in conversation. That's great. If he goes a step further to then ask you a question about the situation you're talking about or just anything in general, it shows that not only is he listening, actively listening, but that he cares to get to know you. Or if he's asking questions about you, like, what do you like? This and that. Like, it sounds really silly.
So basic. Like, you feel like the bar is on the fucking floor.
But I feel like for me, it's so rare that I talk to someone that asks questions.
Yeah. And is like actually active, like you said, actively listening and engaging in conversation and wants to know more.
Yeah.
Even if you're talking about something completely irrelevant, like you said, such an underrated green flag, because you could be talking about something that the man has no interest in.
Yeah.
But he's going to ask questions because you care. Mm-hmm. So it sparks an active interest in him. He's not faking it.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I'll ask her a question to like make her think I'm interested. Like, he actually wants to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Your interest gives him interest.
Yeah. Or he wants to have a better perspective on like who you are or what makes you tick or what you like and what you don't like, or like
the way you think about things,
who you are as a person. Like, those types of things are such key elements to having a genuine, deep connection with someone, which is the whole foundation of what a relationship should be, which gets so lost in the sauce nowadays. I feel like relationships are built on sex and a physical attraction.
Yeah,
and like,
absolutely.
While those things are important, I feel like a long lasting, super deep love is only going to be found if you have that deeper connection. And, you know, obviously just because someone's asking questions doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be, they're going to be the right person for you. But it does show that there's somebody that takes an interest in you. And I feel like at the end of the day, that should be a standard that we hold when we're dating.
Someone right. that takes an initiative to get to know you better, takes an initiative to learn more about the way you think about things. It's really easy to have small talk with somebody. Like, you can go on a first date, you can go on 10 dates with somebody and know nothing about them. They can know nothing about you if you're not asking each other questions.
And I feel like I think maybe to me, this is such a huge thing for me specifically, because communication to me is so important. And
yeah,
I cannot
absolutely.
Even tell you how many men, not even romantically, but just in general, or people in general that aren't good with communication, that just stick to surface level conversations.
Because that's what they're comfortable with. That's all they care about.
Exactly. And for me, I've always been someone that just likes to dive a little bit deeper. So when I'm pursuing something or talking to someone or, you know, in a situationship, whatever, dating, on a date, I will divulge information about myself because they're not asking questions and I want them to get to know me and I'll ask questions. But I recently have met someone that like asks a lot of questions about me. So like, that's just who I am.
You, yeah.
But sometimes it's like they'll ask questions and I don't know. I've just really enjoyed that aspect of that relationship because I feel like we've gotten to know each other a lot quicker. And
because they're actually asking questions.
They care, you know?
Well, I'm like, that's the thing. It's like, that's a green flag. A major red flag is if you're sitting down with somebody, someone you know or someone you don't know, and they're only talking about themselves mm-hmm. or they're listening to you talk, but they're not asking any questions or not reciprocating in the conversation.
Or you are having a conversation and you guys talk about a bunch of shit. And then like the next day or 2 days later, you bring up something that you've already talked about and they have zero recollection of having that conversation.
They're like, what?
Yeah. They don't remember. It's like being an active listener in a situation, because I feel like a lot of men care more about themselves or, you know, I'll just be honest. I think a lot of men are attracted to women, but don't like women.
Don't like them that much.
And so when they date us, they don't care to ask questions. They don't care to remember details. They don't care to be an active listener and a part of the conversation or a part of our lives. They're just there for one thing only. Maybe companionship, maybe to make themselves feel a little
bit
better. Status, sex, to be loved, to give love, but they aren't really seeking that deeper bond and that deeper connection because they don't actually like us.
Yeah.
So to find a man that actually genuinely likes you as a person, likes your personality.
Not just as a woman, but as a person.
As a person, likes your personality, thinks you're funny, connects with you, has similar interests, similar
thinks
morals,
you're smart.
Similar values, thinks you're
values
smart.
Values your opinion. And there's nothing worse than when you're sitting with someone and you're asking them a bunch of questions, they answer them and they don't ask any questions back. It's like, what is this, a fucking interview?
Because they literally just don't care.
Or like, I'm the type of person, like, I'm not going to let us sit there in silence. Like, I'm going to ask questions. Yeah. I'm going to be intuitive. I'm going to be curious. And I genuinely am. There's nothing more fucking uncomfortable than someone answering the question and like, that's it. They don't ask it back. They don't fucking care. That's your cue to excuse yourself. Yeah.
Thank you. I have to go pee. And then you just run. It's
through the bathroom window.
Yeah.
This is good for not just like male and female relationships, but any relationships you have. Like if you want to deepen your friendships, deepen your sisterhood, your brotherhood, your parents, any relationship that you want to feel more connected and feel deeper, sit down. Ask each other fucking questions that you've never thought about. Go on Google. Look up questions to deepen your relationship. Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly.
It's corny, but like
a side note on this, we just recently posted a video of a clip from our last podcast where we were talking about the difference between men and women and how it was like a joke, first of all, where we were discussing how men and women are different when they deal with their friends and how deep they get in conversation.
This fucking TikTok gives me PTSD.
And like, I posted this TikTok of us talking about, oh, haha, when my boyfriend comes home and his friend went through a breakup and we asked for the details and they don't have any details, like you were with them all day and you don't know,
you didn't ask any questions.
Yeah, you didn't ask any questions. All of the guys are in our comment section being like, yeah, because men don't like to gossip, blah blah blah,
we're not gonna gossip, we don't talk about each other like that.
And my response to all of the men, even though none of them are listening, if you are listening, my response to that is, it's not gossiping, it's giving a shit, it's caring about their well-being,
being connected,
it's caring about getting deeper with your friend. But I will say, even I'm sure there are men out there that would be like that, but because it's not a normal thing in male relationships, because that's just not how male relationships work. And that's because that's, you know, they've done it to themselves. Ultimately, it's no one else's fault at this point. But at the end of the day, like, it was created by society, which is also a construct that was created by men. But that's, I digress.
I digress. But like,
the point is, caring about your friend and giving them a place to be vulnerable in a safe space
is not gossip.
It's not gossip. It's not like, give me the, like, we did say, like, give me the tea.
Yeah.
But what we really meant is just like getting to a deeper level, understanding, like,
let's have a conversation.
Like, when a girl goes through a breakup, the girl, we dissect it. Not because we care about the fucking gossip. Like, when, if Madison were to go through a breakup, I'd be asking her 100,000 questions. No, and
we ask each other questions that matter.
To understand the situation, to help her, to let her grieve, to give her a safe place to discuss her feelings and process what she's going through. Like, that is the point of friendship. That is the point of human connection. And I feel like men are lacking that within their own relationships with each other. And I think it's sad. The reason I'm ranting about this is because all of the comments made it even more sad for me, because it's like
you can really see
how internalized it is for them.
God forbid we get on the red pill side of Instagram or TikTok. Like, the guys are
fucking, blow my brain.
Honestly,
out.
It's kind of scary, like, how violent the male species is, and just like how many opinions they have about women and what they should or shouldn't be doing. I'm like, do people like this exist in our everyday life?
Can't believe it. It's honestly changed my, I've never really liked humans. I think people are the root of all evil. Like, we destroy everything we touch. We're like parasites. We literally are destroying the earth. We destroy each other. We destroy animals. We destroy everything. But that really just took it to a whole new level, seeing like the way that men, specifically men, there are some women that are clearly red pill women that are pick me ass bitches that agree with a man's opinion on a woman's life.
They like the validation that they get when they agree with a man. Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, this girl right here. Like,
I feel like we are getting slightly sidetracked, but yeah, my point of bringing this up is just like,
when are we not?
My point of bringing this up to get back on track is having a deeper bond with another human is literally the whole point of this existence on this earth.
There's nothing else that matters.
And I think anyone that hasn't had that yet, go find that, because it gives life so much more meaning. It makes you understand yourself. It makes you understand others. It gives you purpose. Like, if you feel like you don't have a purpose, go find someone and ask them, not just like a, how are you doing? Like, get a little deeper with
get
them.
Get involved with people. I'm like,
yeah.
Everybody has their own tree of life. Like, sometimes I'll find myself in like a deep state of thought and I'm looking at people and I'm like, every single person around me, every person I'm looking at has their own experiences, their own life, their own family tree, their own trauma, their own shit going on. I know nothing about. I'm over here in my own bubble, living my own life. You're the center of your own universe, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to branch out from that and to be able
to realize that we're all here existing in
deeper human connection. Yeah. Genuinely, money, fame, food, power, nothing matters as much as human connection does.
You'll realize that we actually need each other a lot more than we realize, and we actually have a lot more in common than we realize, despite our differences. Like, at the end of the day, we're all living through struggle. We're all living through loneliness. We're all living through heartbreak. We're all living through pain, trauma, happiness, joy, excitement, success.
Everybody, like, on their own levels with their own things.
Yeah. And I just think there's so much beauty in that connection that so many people miss out on just by
staying in their own sheltered bubbles and not asking questions.
Staying in their own sheltered bubbles or just not caring.
Yeah.
Like, how about give up a little bit of yourself for a second and think about someone else?
Yeah.
Like, don't be so selfish. Don't be so self-absorbed.
And there's so much to gain from that. Like, yeah. You feel like we're in such an antisocial society lately where it's like your social battery is always drained because you're always on your fucking phone. You're always on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. But you're not actually face to face with people. You're not actually asking questions.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and I will say, like, I'm definitely the type of person that I get, my social battery does get drained. So yeah. I am very selective on who I hang out with. But that doesn't mean that when I am around people, I'm not asking questions. I'm not trying to get deeper. You know how I know when someone's going to build me up and be in my closer circle that I actually can be around and trust in them to recharge me rather than drain me is when I can get deeper with them. When I feel like they understand me on a different level than the whole entire population, because I feel like your tribe, I feel like that's, I hate that term.
I know, I hate it so much.
Your people, everyone has a different group of people that works for them.
And I think the whole point to this is back to the fucking point of this podcast. The whole point of a podcast is that if you're in a relationship and you're unhappy and you're feeling unsatisfied, there is somebody else out there who's going to ask you questions and care about you. And you need to go find that. Like, it's your responsibility to get out of the situation that you're in and go find somebody who's going to give you more.
At the end of the day, playing victim in your own life is never going to get you anywhere. Yeah. Yeah,
you'll never be happy.
You can do that all you want. You can sit there and cry and sulk and complain.
I literally said that. I guess this is my life now.
Throw yourself a pity party. But yeah. Like at that point, you are creating your own destiny. And if that's what you want for yourself, then by all means, but you don't have to have that. You don't have to live that way. And that's the whole point of a podcast.
Bad Therapy Podcast Episode 23, create your own destiny. That's the
I'm not cheersing you with an empty glass here.
It's, ooh.
Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week. Friday.
God damn it. We always either say next week or next Friday. We never say it. We're locked in on every other aspect in life.
Maybe we just need to say both in case people don't know if it's every week or every Friday.
Well, now you know.
Well, it's both. Cheers.